Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Europe is promising to provide the backbone of the Lebanon peacekeeping force, but there are still questions on how that will work. Israel is demanding that Hezbollah be prevented from rearming, but United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan says disarmament is not the UN's job. Arizona Republican Senator John McCain said today he supports the U.S. mission in Iraq. That follows his criticism this week of the Bush administration for misleading Americans into believing what McCain said would be, quote, some kind of day at the beach. The potential 2008 presidential candidate and supporter of the Iraq War issued a statement explaining his position after his comments criticizing the Bush administration. On Tuesday, McCain complained about major mistakes by the administration, such as underestimating the size of the task in Iraq and the sacrifices necessary. The comments prompted criticism from both the right and the left that McCain was flip-flopping, contradicting his backing for Bush's policy and then contradicting that. An optimistic assessment on Iraq at the Pentagon today. The deputy president of Iraq paid a visit to Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Adil Abdul-Mahdi says violence has been decreasing in Iraq in the last 5 weeks. Rumsfeld says that is especially true in areas that U.S. and Iraqi forces have been able to clear out of militants. The defense secretary says Iraqi forces are doing a very good job, and Abdul-Mahdi says not only are there more soldiers, but there are better quality, too. Abdul-Mahdi insists his government is stronger than ever and that Iraq is not headed toward civil war. A federal judge blocked Northwest Airlines flight attendants from going on strike. The judge in New York granting the airline request to avert a threatened job action by the flight attendants. The union had threatened to call sporadic unannounced strikes unless the airline negotiated a better contract. Former President Gerry Ford resting comfortably at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota after having an angioplasty. Stents were placed in two of his coronary arteries to increase blood flow. What had been just a tropical depression is now a tropical storm, Ernesto, and it could become the first hurricane of the season. That's the word from the National Hurricane Center. So people in Jamaica and the Cayman Islands, they say, had better start preparing because Tropical Storm Ernesto is heading that way. This is Air America Radio News.
the world stops on Friday, and I start having me a ball. Cause I got a good feeling, and I don't feel no pain at all. Friday's my day.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in tonight, Friday the 25th of August. I think we ought to start putting a time signature on each program like that, Kathy, so that when best ofs are played, people will know when it was actually broadcast live. What do you think?
I think everyone over at the Department of Homeland Security would appreciate that for their easier cataloging.
That's true. After tonight, next week, I'll be filling in for Randy Rhodes, and Peter Werby will be filling in for me all next week. So the Malloy program is 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time next week. Well, it's Randy's program, but I mean, I'll be there 3 to 7 p.m. next week. And that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Now, starting September 1st, Randy's going to cut back to 3 hours a day. I guess that means we'll be Friday. Next Friday is the first. I guess that means on that day, we'll only do 3 hours.
That's the goal. We're going to find out next week if that actually happens, if the launch is actually on Friday or if it's going to be the next week.
Okay. All right. So anyway, I'll be filling in for Randy all next week. Peter Werby, the dean of Detroit Talk Radio, will be filling in for me. Bush was, this is at the salon.com. I think it's at Democratic Underground, too. Bush was on his way to some more vacation up in Kennebunkport. Is that Maine? Kennebunkport, Maine? To his parents' palatial estate there. I love the pictures, by the way, that usually come back. It'll be George Jr. and Sr., with five boatloads of Secret Service people around them and helicopters swooping by, and they're fishing. And you just know what's going on underneath the surface of the water. There are probably 40 or 50 Navy SEALs in full scuba gear who have a huge net, probably with a circumference of about 2 miles. And they are forcing every single fish in whatever body of water the bush is in, the immediate vicinity of the boat. They're forcing these fish tighter and tighter into a little circumference, little circle under Bush's boat, so this halfwit can sit there and pull in the fish. You know that's going on. Anyway, he was on his way to more vacation, and he stopped at a local elementary school yesterday to meet with family members of U.S. troops who have been killed in Bush's toy adventure in Iraq and Afghanistan. Yeah, he's going to meet with them. Now, he doesn't meet with these people one-on-one. He doesn't dare, because they would slice him and dice him fairly quickly. After the meeting ended, it says here, Hildy Hawley, whose husband died in Afghanistan in June, said she walked up to Bush and said, "It's time to stop the bleeding and swallow our pride and find a solution." Ooh, who wrote that? Honest John the Commie? Time to stop the bleeding and swallow our pride and find a solution. Wow, is that out there, huh? How did Bush respond? Hildy Hawley said Bush told her that, quote, "There was no point in us having a philosophical discussion about the pros and cons of the war," end quote. No point in having a philosophical discussion about the pros and cons of the war. I can't help it. I hate this guy. I just absolutely, he turns my stomach. Doesn't he, you? I know he does. Dan in Tracy, California had sent this to me early this morning. After, I guess he listened to the program podcast, he says, "Mike, one thing I've never understood is why so many people adore Gandhi and King and nonviolence. Personally, whenever I've heard their names, something inside me recoils. I'm hardwired to want righteous justice in the face of atrocities against me, such as what's happening to us in America right now. The only thing, there's literally nothing to take up arms against. The only thing I can imagine is that if there were martial law and tanks in the streets and patrols roaming around breaking into houses in the middle of the night and disappearances, etc., then there'd be something to lock and load against. The way things are now, it's like they're killing us softly. Ow! That's from Don in Tracy, California. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I'm sure it's a little naive to still believe that the policies or the tactics, I should say, of Gandhi or Jesus or King would work. In the Journal Constitution here, there was a little op-ed piece written by a guy named Ken Daniel, who is a TV producer, and he's also an instructor at the Art Institute of Atlanta here, which is a good school, real good art school. And he points something out. You remember those popular bumper stickers and bracelets a couple years ago? The absolute essence of simplicity, four letters with a question mark, WWJD. Remember that? What would Jesus do? Now, as Ken points out, most of those stickers have either faded into oblivion or have been replaced by other bumper stickers that say things like support our troops and God bless America and stuff like that, right? So Ken wants to know, he's got a question for the clergy, all clergy in the country. They're being too quiet about Bush and the war. He says, as the WWJD bumper stickers disappeared, did the message vanish as well? Where is the voice of our spiritual leaders? That's his question. Now, I know there are one or two or three who are speaking out, but you know what he's talking about. He's talking about all the preachers in all the pulpits in all the churches, especially the mega churches. And, you know, why aren't they really talking a message of peace and reconciliation instead of war and sucking up to George Bush? Why are they doing that? The Coral Ridge Ministries are focused on the connection between Charles Darwin and Adolf Hitler. That makes sense, right? So Ken wants to know, where's the clergy's voice? And he lists a couple of questions here. What would Jesus do about a war initiated on deception in which everyday men and women, American, Iraqi, Afghan, and others, are dying? What would Jesus do about so many of our leaders who loudly proclaim their Christian faith and devotion to God to gain our vote, and then once elected, lie and cheat and deceive? Oh, I like that one. Yeah. What would Jesus do with these people? Well, I think he'd pinch their heads off and toss them into hell, whether he uses soccer balls by the demons. What would Jesus do about a government that places more importance on corporate profit than on the environment or the welfare of its citizens? What would Jesus do about a government that closes its eyes to so many countries where every day thousands of men, women, and children die from diseases that can be easily prevented with affordable, accessible medicines? Or a government that protects the obscene profiteering of its medical and pharmaceutical corporations while hundreds of thousands of its own citizens are unable to afford medical insurance and treatment and die needlessly? Oh, Ken, those are tough questions. You must be a commie too, right? What would Jesus do with those of us who cry traitor and un-American at anyone who even so slightly questions our motives in the Middle East? Even a mother whose son died there. I reckon that would be Cindy Sheehan, wouldn't it? He says, where is the logic of fighting a war on terrorism with every terrifying weapon available to us just short of nuclear bombs? He says, I'm fairly certain Jesus had a clear position on this. And we wonder why so many people all over the world hate us. We continually claim that it's because they are envious of our prosperity, when the real reason is our insistence that everyone must submit to our rules. We wave the flag, puff out our chest, and proclaim, God is on our side! And of course, our God is male, white, and conservative Christian. Yeah, I just wonder what would, whatever happened to those WWJDs? Maybe the more appropriate question Ken winds up here with is WWYD, what will you do? What will you do, Truth Seeker? What will I do? Is it time yet? You think? All right, stick around. I'm Mike Pomeroy. This is Air America.
fingerless pale blue Japanese.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh, the new owner of your Jetta. He traded it in.
Wait a minute. That red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's just, when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected. It's just like we're a family. We should hang out. You and me in the Jetta. Do you have an email?
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
I've seen you in the house upon the hill, and I've heard you talking about making the world safer and about all the men you have to kill. Well, I've just got one question and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? Maybe Jesus would bomb the Afghans on drive an M1 tank, yeah, he would shoot Saddam. Who would Jesus find?
Hey, that's kind of cool. If you got some, play a little bit more of that. Play a little bit more.
Yes, I hear you shout with confidence as you praise the Lord. And you talk about this God you know so well. You talk of Armageddon and your final victory when all the evil forces go to hell. Well, you'd best hope you've chosen wisely on the right side of the Lord. And when you die, your conscience, it is clear. You'd best hope your atom bombs are better than the sword at the time when your reckoning is here. I don't think Jesus would send gunships into Bethlehem or jets to raise the towns of Timorese. I don't think Jesus would lend money to dictators or drive those SUVs. And I don't think Jesus would ever have dropped a single ounce of napalm. Who would Jesus love?
I'm sure a lot of you know who that is. It's David Rovics, who I think Peter's going to have him on this week when he'll be filling in for me. We met him. Was that here in Atlanta? Yeah. And he is quite the musician. If you want some quick information about him, go to Google, type in David Rovics, R-O-V-I-C-S, and I think the first entry will take you to the Wikipedia page, and there's a lot of information there about him. R-O-V-I-C-S, David Rovics. I think we had him on the program one time, too.
We had him on, and he has a new CD out, Halliburton Boardroom Massacre.
He is he's quite the musician, quite the songwriter, singer-songwriter. Wow. David Rovics. Next door in Alabama, a lot of people say the best thing that ever came out of Alabama is Interstate 20. But in Alabama, the Democratic primary victory of a woman happens to be lesbian, Patricia Todd, for a seat in the Alabama State House. Her victory was overturned by a Democratic Party committee last night. She won. But the committee, the Democratic, the committee that oversees these elections, the Democrats, the vote was 5-0. Now, if the Democratic committee, you talk about Soviets, Jesus, if the committee had not reversed the outcome of that election, which Patricia Todd won, she would have become the first openly gay elected official in the state's history. Now, you always have to say openly, because I doubt if there is a legislature anywhere in the United States that hasn't, since, I don't know, the 13 original colonies, hasn't had at least one, probably 10, maybe 20 members who happen to be gay. But the key word is openly gay, you see. Just like in the military. Well, what cracks me up about gays in the military is there have always been gays in the military. Always. But, you know, the right wingers, these crazed conservatives, use this as an issue. So anyway, it's not just crazed conservatives here in the South. These are our Democrats who said, whoop, wait a minute. That woman's a dyke. And she won. Now, no Republican has entered the race in this overwhelmingly Democratic district. It's District 54. And this race was to determine who would represent what Democrat, because there's no Republican running. So Patricia Todd won. She's the Associate Director of AIDS Alabama, which is a social service and AIDS education agency. The committee also disqualified her opponent, Gaynell Hendricks, because neither had filed, this is their story, neither had filed a required campaign finance report on time. Now, here's the catch, though. The same rule has been ignored by all candidates since 1988. Nobody does this. And the Associated Press has reported that this year's party nominees for governor and lieutenant governor have not filed the reports as well. Nobody does this. But because this woman happens to be a lesbian and won, the Democratic Party, for some reason, I wonder why, Democratic Party in Alabama said, no, we're going to take it away from her. we're just not going to let that happen. Now, the Alabama State Party Chairman, Joe Turnham, told the Associated Press he's very surprised at all this and that the state party may overturn what this local committee did. We'll wait and see. But isn't that so much like the South down here? By God, you ain't going to have no dyke going up there to the state house. Nuh-uh.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
You know when you open a birthday card from Grandma? She's usually good for, what, like $5? Well, now imagine that you have 100 grandmas. It feels like that.
Have you ever gotten out of your car and something catches your eye on the ground? You walk over and find a $5 bill? Okay, now pretend you find a $495 bill next to it. It's just like that.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
Three traps set by a deranged killer. Two desperate cops who take the bait. One thriller that triples the suspense. Triptych, the new novel by New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Triptych takes you down three harrowing paths of murder, then trips you up with one final shocker you will never see coming. See why critics call Karen Slaughter's thrillers crime fiction at its finest. Read Triptych by Karen Slaughter, a Delacorte hardcover.
ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 26 before the hour. This is from Joe in Illinois. Mike, I've joined the legions of fellow Americans who know somebody who has been sent to Iraq, and I don't like it. As you start your program this evening, there's a flight leaving South Carolina for Kuwait and then to Iraq with, among others, a newly minted 19-year-old Lance Corporal. He's a son of neighbors, and I've known him since he was born. He has no idea what he's getting into, but he feels he can handle anything. He's a great kid, and I really fear for his mental and physical safety. His car is parked in the driveway, and I see it each time I look out the window, and it will remind me of him and wonder how he's doing. I get so angry when I know it's all for nothing, and the price that's been paid for this fiasco already is too high. Bush is off fishing, and this young man is flying into harm's way for a so-called cause that doesn't exist. Now, the pain I feel each time I hear of a casualty announcement will be harder to take, knowing there's no chance it could be someone I know personally. Joe in Illinois. Yeah, I have that experience with friends who served in combat in Vietnam, so I know what you're talking about. It's rough. All right, we're going to do less phone calls tonight, so we have a bunch of open lines, I think. Are they all open lines? Yeah, we have mucho open lines. 866-303-2270 is the number, so if you've been holding it in because you thought, well, I'd never get on the program, now's the night. This is the time, all right? 866-303-2270. While you're dialing in, I can't think of a bigger fiasco, less American deaths. I think we've only lost maybe 1,000 of our soldiers in Afghanistan, or maybe it's not that high, right? Only 1,000, only 500. Isn't that sick? But Afghanistan is falling apart. You understand that? And the latest wrinkle here is the puppet governor, president there, Hamid Karzai, the former consultant to Unocal Oil Company in California, and he's now the president of Afghanistan. He is reactivating an organization within his government called the Department for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice. Department for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice. This is an absolute holdover from the Taliban era. Now, what Hamid Karzai's cabinet has approved is a proposal by the Afghan Religious Scholars Council to resurrect this sick 10th century hate-filled violent ministry that under the Taliban was out of control, especially against women and girls. Public beatings, executions, imprisonment, women for showing up on the street without a burqa. Women were targeted for other things too, wearing socks that were not sufficiently opaque, showing their wrists, hands, or ankles. Hands. Think about it. And not being accompanied in public by a close male relative. Men were beaten for trimming their beards. And Hamid Karzai is allowing these medieval bastards back into his government. How long ago was it that George Bush and Laura Bush were over there, or Laura was over there doing her thing about, Kathy, you remember that? About how the women in Afghanistan, you want to play? Have you still got that little speech she gave? Do you have that? We ought to cue that up and get ready. How long does that run, honey? Huh? When she was over there, she gave a speech to some Afghan women about the glorious freedoms that they were now going to enjoy, including, among other things, makeup. It only run. Yeah, let's you still have it? Well, let's play that, because I think we ought to do it in recognition that the Department for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice has been reactivated by Hamid Karzai. Girls, women in Afghanistan, hold on to your asses, ladies, because it's all over. Back into the burqa. But not too long ago, Laura Bush was talking to y'all about this.
My fellow recently liberated women, I'm Laura Pickles Bush, and I want to thank you for inviting me to Afghanistan to educate you on the finer points of Western culture and fashion. I'm honored to spend these 30 heavily guarded minutes speaking through an interpreter to you lucky swarthy ladies so that you too can know the glory of wearing fine clothes like my snappy orange plaid pantsuit. I can see through your eye slits how eager you are to get started, so one of my assistants will be passing out personal grooming kits complete with tubs of crimson-red lipstick and photos of one of our more stylish Southern Republicans, Miss Catherine Harris, for you to use as a guide. Freedom is on the march, and the poppies are blooming once again, ladies. Now that you're liberated, you no longer have to look like Paul Wolfowitz or my mother-in-law. So raise those veils and start plucking. Tweezers are your friends, gals. Since my Bushy brought democracy and a spanking new government to your formerly evil nation, you're now able to achieve your lifetime dream of flying kites and wearing white shoes. Until Labor Day, that is. But we'll save those more advanced etiquette lessons for my next 20-minute visit. Speaking of, we don't have much time before the calls to prayer have you scurrying back to your hairy and domineering, paranoid, fanatical, fundamentalist zealot hubbies faster than you can say clitorectomy, so let's begin. Now, not to brag, but in the wonderful land of America, I'm considered quite the snappy dresser. As I often advise my twin daughters, Jenna and the other one, during their sober moments, you can tell a lady by her ability to accessorize. I realize you've had scarce opportunity to nurture and develop your own unique fashion style since all you've been permitted to wear are identical dusty burlap charcoal grill covers for the last several decades, so I'm here to help. But before you burn that burqa, you might want to stash it in the back of your hut. It may come in handy when you feel the urge to exercise your newfound freedom by sneaking a smoke without fear of reprisal from one of the more old-fashioned male members of your family who isn't quite ready to embrace your recent emancipation. You've come a long way, baby. No need to risk getting stoned to death now when freedom in Filene's basement are waiting just around the corner. Now, I know that most of you gals are not fortunate enough to be one of the wives of a prominent opium merchant or pipeline driller or well-paid warlord, so many of you are on a tight budget these days. Believe me, I can relate. Before landing a rich and powerfully politically connected husband, I spent several months slaving as a low-paid librarian, so I, too, have known the hardship of having to buy Liz Claiborne coordinates and separates off the clearance rack at TJ Maxx. I've outlined some helpful hints on how you, too, can achieve my look for less. For example, you can't misunderestimate the cosmetic value of simply maintaining a cheerful disposition. While a shortage of common medical supplies and sanitary needles may prevent you from appreciating the magical miracle that is Botox, nevertheless, you can improve your appearance 1,000% by just putting on a happy face. Did you know that it takes 43 muscles to frown, but only 17 to smile? And actually only 3 with the right prescription? So turn those frowns upside down and slap on the Maybelline. Moving on to your wardrobe issues, 40 yards of fabric can hide a multitude of sins, but now that you'll be permitted by the males in your household to occasionally venture out of the rubble to walk briefly about in the daylight, it's time to think about how to flatter your figure with form-fitting spring fashions. It may take some patient practice to learn to daintily dodge landmines while wearing aqua faux alligator slingback pumps like I have on today, but trust me, the risk of serious injury and even death from inappropriate footwear is well worth it when you appreciate all the flattering male attention you'll receive as a result. Make sure you're the wife and or concubine he selects each night. You'll be amazed at how a pair of shapely heels both lengthen the leg and flame the fires of desire in even the most celibate, devout, and religiously crazed mullah. Imagine the wild and exciting nights you'll enjoy with your favorite Koran man. And you'll soon realize that there's no more powerful aphrodisiac than a 70% off sale at your neighborhood Lowman's. Now, I'm sure you're thinking, But Pickles, where do I find lovely and affordable beauty products and practical fun fashions in our liberated but still ravaged and decimated land? We understand that even though democracy has arrived full force in your dingy little country, at present you have no fine shopping establishments in which to practice your budding capitalist consumer skills. That's why my Bushy and the more corporate-minded members of his administration are working with a fabulous humanitarian aid organization in America called Walmart to establish a safe, well-lit, carpet-bomb-free shopping zone so you can outfit your remaining children in style and also purchase the latest furnishings for your cave or hut or hovel or whatever you little brown folks live in. Now, I'd love to stay and chat more, but our interpreter has another engagement, and unfortunately, I don't speak babble, so be sure to attend our next seminar, which will be conducted by Karen Hughes and Scott McClellan on the topic of stylish dressing for the sexually misguided, queer plan for the Taliban. In closing, let me say, praise Allah, God bless Bush, and in your own language.
So that's all over now. See, they had their chance, and Pickles was right there to kind of launch Afghan women into the future, and it's over now. Nasrin Abubakar Gross, a lecturer at Kabul University and a women's rights activist in Afghanistan, says she's alarmed by the return of the Department for the Promotion of Virtue and Prevention of Vice. She said, I am confident that this department will once again create horror among the people.
Poppy cultivation in Afghanistan. Got to work together to eradicate poppy. The country is quite famous for growing pomegranates, yes. Or honeydew melons.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Real words from real people about Lifeline screening.
I was told I should see my doctor or go to the emergency room immediately. Later I said to the physician, I guess I'm pretty lucky to have had those tests. He answered, it saved your life.
In less than 1 hour, Lifeline screening checks for warning signs of stroke and vascular disease. Nearly 50% of people that suffer a stroke never have symptoms. Don't wait until it's too late. Get screened today.
The doctor said I'm one lucky guy, and if I hadn't gone to the screening, I would have been a statistic.
$129, 4 ultrasound tests. No needles, no pain. Just peace of mind.
I owe my life to you.
Mobile testing units are coming to your neighborhood. If you're over 50, make an appointment by calling 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
Lifeline screening saved my life.
Please call now. 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. Several people are sending me this the link now to, what is it, One World U.S. Writer there, Aaron Glantz, has got an article out. I'm sure you've heard about this before, but here it is again. One of the chief prosecutors, he's a very old man now, but one of the chief prosecutors of Nazi war crimes at Nuremberg has said that George W. Bush should be tried for war crimes along with Saddam Hussein. His name is Benjamin Ferenc. Is that how you pronounce it? Ferenc? He, as a prosecutor, he secured convictions for 22 Nazi officers for their orchestrating death squads that killed more than a million people. And Benjamin Ferenc said Bush and Saddam should be tried both for starting aggressive wars. Saddam for his 1990 attack on Kuwait and Bush for his 2003 invasion of Iraq. Ferenc said, quote, Nuremberg declared that aggressive war is the supreme international crime. He went on to say that the UN Charter, which was written after the carnage of World War II, contains a provision that no nation can use armed force without the permission of the UN Security Council. Ferenc said that after Nuremberg, the international community realized that every war results in violations by both sides, meaning the primary objective should be preventing any war from occurring in the first place. He said the atrocities of the Iraq War, from the Abu Ghraib prison scandal and the massacre of dozens of civilians by U.S. forces in Haditha, to the high number of civilian casualties caused by insurgent car bombs, were highly predictable at the start of the war. So, you know, at a time in this country, what was decided at Nuremberg truly was considered the, if not the first time, certainly the most serious time in international relations that an international panel of jurists and prosecutors and defense attorneys was put together to hold people responsible for wars of aggression, in this case, the Hitler machine, and they were held accountable. The same thing happened in the Far East with the Japanese warlords. They were put on trial, basically along the same lines, and a certain number of the Japanese warmongers were executed and imprisoned for long periods of time, or imprisoned for long periods of time. It was very clear that wars of aggression simply were not to be tolerated by people who claim to be civilized. So here we have one of the chief prosecutors, Benjamin Ferenc, who is, you know, he may be 87 years old, but you know, he's the laws like this don't change. You're going to interpret what happened? You're going to have some Supreme Court right-wing nut case interpret what happened at Nuremberg? No, I don't think so. It was very clear. The sorts of war or aggressive acts that were committed by Adolf Hitler and his military machine were not to be tolerated. They were to be condemned, and the people involved in them were to be held accountable. And if that meant hanging or firing squad, I think they were mostly hanged, weren't they? Then so be it. And then we have George W. Bush. But it's astonishing. I realize we don't care in this country. We don't care if Benjamin Ferenc says this. We, you know, we got more important things to do. We don't care. You know, oh, really? The chief prosecutor? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't like Bush anyway. You know, screw it. Got to go to work. We're going out tonight. You know, whatever. But the rest of the world who truly believe, especially in Europe, that you know, the section of the planet and the Far East that dealt with the slaughter and the murder and the absolute decimation of their societies and their social order and the deaths of, how many people died in World War II? 50 million globally, 50 million people, counting all the deaths, 50 million people died. Oh, my God. But the people in other parts of the world who have studied history, who understand why the UN was put together, who understand why the Allies after World War II The French, the German, I'm sorry, the French, the British, the Americans, and the Russians, was that it? The Soviet Union, weren't there four great powers? Was China involved? I don't think China was involved. There were four powers that were involved that conducted these war crimes trials. And these were serious. They were so serious that some of the, like Hermann Göring, some of the prisoners committed suicide rather than face the hangman's noose. But it's considered to be absolute law. You can't do this any longer. Not since 1946. It was not to have, or 47, it was not to happen again. And George Bush, he gives it all the middle finger. He doesn't care. It doesn't make any difference. But it's just astonishing, isn't it? Or isn't it? I don't know. Maybe we really do not care any longer. How many of us listen to this program really remember anything concrete about World War II or the immediate aftermath? I don't. I was tiny at the time, but I don't know. But the chief, one of the chief prosecutors says Bush should be put on trial for war crimes. That's an astounding statement. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. The death toll among National Guard and Reserve troops in Iraq has dropped this year. Citizen soldiers are now playing a smaller combat role against the insurgency in Iraq. In August, 5 members of the Guard and Reserve have died, compared with 44 at this point in August of last year. That was the deadliest month of the war for the Guard and Reserve. The number of Guard and Reserve deaths for the year so far totals 54. That's less than one-third of the 189 recorded at this point last year. The death count for all U.S. forces in Iraq, both active and reserve, has fallen from an average of a little over 2 per day last year to a little under 2 per day so far this year. The insurgents are continuing to target American troops, but the worst violence this year has been aimed at Iraqis in what some say amounts to civil war. The main reason for the decline in reserve death is that fewer are being sent to Iraq in the first place. They are now a little under 20% of the 138,000 U.S. troops there, compared with about 40% last year. And the number of National Guard combat brigades in Iraq has been dropped from 5 to only 1. Since the start of the war in Iraq, March 19, 2003, a total of 595 Guard and Reserve troops have been killed, according to Defense Department figures. That's about 23% of the total death toll in Iraq of more than 2,600. Progress reportedly being made in New Orleans, but some big risks still remain in the recovery from Hurricane Katrina almost a year later. That's the conclusion of the new report by a consulting firm involved in rebuilding the city. The report says, on the bright side, New Orleans is making a comeback. Sales tax collections about 75% in the city, above pre-hurricane levels in some areas around the city. The report warns about affordable housing, though. Rents up 40% on average. And in places not affected by flooding, home prices up about 25% in the last year. The guy you always see on TV talking about hurricanes is retiring. Max Mayfield, director of the National Hurricane Center in Miami. But not for much longer. He's stepping down in January. He made the announcement today at what his staff thought would be a routine meeting. Max Mayfield says after 34 years at the National Hurricane Center, the last six of them as the boss, it's time to go. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Okay, to your phone calls. As soon as I just give you this one email from A.E., he writes, Mike, just want to remind you that there is a good man named Rocky who won't be meeting with Clueless George. When the Republicans are guests of the American Legion for their national convention in Salt Lake City over the next several days, anti-war activist Rocky Anderson will be outside the convention center. Rocky, as mayor of Salt Lake City, would normally be inside giving the welcoming speech, but he wasn't invited. Instead, he'll be outside joining Cindy Sheehan in protest. This will be the second time Rocky Anderson has protested the war during a Bush visit to his city this year. Yeah, well, you know, Rocky from New Orleans, that was a little bit different there, A.E. I think George Bush ought to have another term. All right, let's get your phone calls. The number here is 866-303-2270. Let's start with Franco, who's calling in from Phoenix, Arizona. Franco, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I don't typically listen to Air America.
Just happened to be tonight?
Yes. Yeah. I just thought I'd come over and see what you people were talking about, and I really, from what little I've heard.
Wait a second. I'll give you all the time you want. What do you mean, you people? There's nobody here but me.
You leftists.
Well, there's nobody here but me. You mean what I am talking about?
Well, you and those who agree with you.
Now, wait, you never hear Air America, so what are you talking about?
I say seldom.
Oh, seldom! Oh, you mean the other communists on this network?
Pardon me?
You mean you listen to the other communists on this network?
No, I typically listen to conservative radio.
Ah, okay. So go ahead. What's your question here, Franco?
Well, from what little I've heard from you guys, I find the adage true that liberalism really is a mental disorder. From what I hear from you folks, you're constantly trashing the United States and what the United States.
No, wait a second, Franco. I'll give you all the time you want, but you're going to have to. I'm going to have to teach you some manners real quick. When you call this program, you say something, and then you give me a chance to respond, and then I'll say something, and I'll give you a chance to respond. Anything that diverges from that, and you're gone. Do you understand how that works? All right, Franco, you never hear me or anyone on this network ever say anything bad about America.
Hold on, Franco.
You're real close to being pushed over the cliff. I'm warning you. What you hear on this program is I or whoever else you listen to talking about the murderous, horrendous anti-American policies of the Bush administration. So let's just be clear on that. Now, go ahead.
Yeah, America right now, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but currently America is conducting a war. Are you aware of that?
A war? No, I'm not aware of it because the Congress of the United States has not issued a declaration of war. Are you aware of how the Constitution is set up? Do you know who has the power to declare war? It's not the dictator. It's the legislative branch. Do you know that, Franco?
Actually, I was in Iraq. I met several soldiers who...
No, wait, Franco. This is, you ask a question, I answer, then I ask a question, you answer. Now, you skipped right over that. Who declares war in the United States of America? What branch of government?
Franco,
I'm ready to push you over the cliff. Answer the question, who declares war in America?
Congress.
There you go, Franco. By God, you win. Give this man a fish.
Let me ask you a question now. Can I ask you a question now?
You can ask me 7 or 12. Just give me a chance to answer them.
Okay. What is it that's happening in Iraq when American troops are engaged with an enemy of the United States? What do you call that?
I call that an occupation, an illegal invasion of another country.
Okay. Well, let me get back to my original point.
Sure.
The United States is conducting All I ever hear you people...
No, wait, wait, finish that sentence. The United States is conducting nothing. George Bush is conducting something.
Look, you don't want me to... You don't want to let me finish because
Franco, you can finish anything, for Christ's sake. I love you. I want to come out there and kiss you and suck your tonsils. Hey, George, Franco. Franco. The America's not doing anything. George Bush is doing it. Oh, my God.
Can I finish a thought?
I don't know. Can you?
Well, I can if I'm not interrupted, and you've got the hang-up button, so you've got the advantage.
All right, go ahead, Franco. Jesus, you people make me sick, but go ahead.
All I ever hear is you people condemning America. I never hear one word of condemnation against the Islamo-fascists.
What have I said about America? Now, I'm going to challenge you, Franco, and I'm going to come out there and bitch-slap you if you don't answer me, figuratively speaking.
Well, actually,
what have I said? What have I said that's anti-American?
Let me ask you, when was the last
time? Answer the question!
Let me ask you.
Goodbye, Franco. Get rid of him. Dump him. Into the toilet with him. You're gone, Franco, you half-wit. Even when you scream at him. Answer the question!
I just want to ask you, Mike. I don't understand why you won't let me ask a question. I want to know why you hate America.
Yeah, I know.
Why do all you commies hate America?
I know. I'd like to ask Sean Hannity that question sometime. Jesus, what kind of rocks are in Phoenix? We keep getting these calls from Phoenix. What the hell is going on out there? Is that a right-wing nest of vermin? What is it?
I think the Minutemen have relocated their headquarters to Phoenix in preparation for the onslaught of illegals that they get to pluck off like so many ducks in a shooting gallery.
That they get to do what to?
Pluck.
Oh, pluck.
Pluck off.
Okay, just want to make sure that, you know. What a weird guy. What the hell is wrong with people like that?
It's Mark's brother.
No, it's not. It might be Mark's sister.
Fresh out of the institution.
Is it? I was
in Iraq, Mike.
Yeah, he was in Iraq like his mama was in Iraq. I can never understand that. I really can't. Oh, well, I bring it on myself by allowing these people on the, these people, by allowing a snot like, what was his name? Franco? Rocco? What was his name? Aloysius?
Zippy.
Zippy the Pinhead. All right. Oh, God. Do we have any more of those? No? All right. George is calling from Denver. George, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, George. How are you?
Hey, unlike Rocco, I've been listening to you since you started at Air America, and I love you.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, have you noticed how the Bushes have been in everything throughout history, clear up to Hitler?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Financially supporting the war machine for Hitler?
I'm sure if you check back far enough, you'll find some ancestor of the Bushes who were involved in the Inquisition in Spain, where they tortured and butchered the Jews and the Muslims. I'm sure you'll find them back there somewhere.
I totally agree. Hey, last night I sent you a picture of George Poppy Bush standing there at the book depository in Texas. In 1963, I was just wondering if you got to see that.
You emailed me a photo?
Yeah, I did.
I'm sorry, I didn't see it. Where did you send it?
To your wife.
Oh, Kathy. All right.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to send something to me, send it to mike@mikemalloy.com. It'll get to me.
And you know, what I believe happened on November of 1963 is our government was taken over by these criminals, these very criminals that did 9-1-1. And it ceased to be our country on that day. They publicly executed our president.
Yeah, well, you get no disagreement from me on that one.
Hey, can I say one last thing?
Quickly, George, go ahead.
If people could go to JFKMurderSolved.com. There's just a wealth of information and pictures. The picture that I sent you, it came from
JFK murder solved, past tense, solved?
Right, .com.
.com, all right.
And there's some great pictures in there.
All right, I'll check it out. Thanks, George. I appreciate you calling. Take care. All right, take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
This kind of life makes that violence unthinkable. We'd like to play hockey, have kids and grow. Fighters for Texaco, fighters for power, fighters.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Hi, is Michael there?
Okay,
my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And how is it?
It's great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
the microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Anyone past the hour. Luann is calling from Phoenix, I believe. Is that right, Luann?
Yes, I'm calling from Phoenix.
Yeah, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I just wanted to tell you we're not all crazy in Phoenix.
Well, I know you're not.
There's a few of us that are very smart.
I'm sure that's the case. Absolutely.
I had to call and tell you that. What was that idiot's name? I wish I knew his full name. I would look him up and bitch slap him for you. I'm not very big, but I can tell you I'm so irritated. I would. He wouldn't know what hit him.
You sound like you could do a number on him. He didn't sound like he was all that dangerous. I think he was just a drunk out trying to have a little bit of fun tonight. And, you know, happened to call the program. Like he said, he never listens, but...
Oh, my gosh. I'm just so glad that you're there and others like you, because I would just crawl in a hole.
Yeah.
It's just unbearable. But I just had to tell you, I really don't have anything else to say, but there are a few. I know several people that agree with you, and we're very smart, and we know what's going on.
Well, that's good. Luann, I hope I didn't imply that I thought everybody in Phoenix was like that half-wit. I realize a lot of good people in Phoenix who do have a brain, who don't have to wear the soft-soled shoes with no strings the way that guy obviously does. But anyway, thanks for checking in, Luann, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, appreciate it. You take care.
Bye.
Rex is calling from New Orleans. Rex, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, back to Afghanistan for a second.
Sure.
One of the no small ironies, well, it applies to Iraq too in a way, is that if you had either the prior government prior to the local communists taking over or the communist government prior to the Russian invasion to prop it up, if you had asked anybody, who are the people that most closely resemble Americans in the government or, you know, in the population in general? The answer would have been the communists. Okay. They're the most secular, the most non-fanatical, et cetera, women's rights and all that. Then you can go over to Iraq, and, of course, you've got the Ba'athists. And if you ask which set of people are more like middle-class Americans, it would have been the Sunnis. Who are Hussein supporters. So there's a little irony in all that.
Yeah, there's more than enough irony to go around. The destruction that Bush is heaping on people who not only are probably fairly similar to us in what our goals are, but they're being murdered because in the case of Afghanistan they needed to put a pipeline in. In the case of Iraq we want the oil. In the case of Iran we want the oil. So it's not a nice situation, is it?
Well, and then of course moving right along over to Iran again, the biggest set of pro Americans are the youth, which are I think what 40% of the population is under 25.
I believe you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there you've got another situation is you don't want to alienate them, so they're pretty much pro American. So that or at least pro American lifestyle. Let's put it that way.
Well, Bush and the neocons are going to try to murder as many of those young people as they possibly can, with, you know, when they attack Iran. So those people under the age of 25 who will probably wind up fighting against our boys and girls under the age of 25. And all because of George W. Bush and the neocon bastards that are behind him. But, you know, all these young people, no matter where they are in the Arab world, they must understand to a far greater degree than you and I do that George Bush wants to kill them for no reason other than the fact that they exist.
Well, yes, you know, I don't think he even rationalizes this to that point either, but I think he has more undifferentiated analysis patterns in mind. I just don't even think he gets it that detailed.
Well, you're probably right.
But at any rate, but I just think that it's so ironic that the very people that were most like us in lifestyle and philosophical outlook, to be truthful, were the very people that are now, you know, out of, not only out of power, but are being suppressed and killed. So,
well, you're right. It's just pregnant with irony. The whole thing is, hey, thanks for checking in, Rex. I appreciate what you had to say. You take care. Well, we have another break. Oh God. All right. Another break. And your phone calls when we come back. Any more right wingers out there? Huh? Huh? They just happen to be listening to Air America tonight and want to find out why I hate America. Oh, damn. Come on, boy. Call in. Please!
Compassionate conservative, my ass, in executions unsurpassed, surplus gone so fast, divided, not united. What's he wanna do now? What's he gonna try? Does he really think Armageddon is nigh? Does he care if children die? La 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 la. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Thank you for calling for your risk-free trial of Proactive Solution.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can try Proactive Solution risk-free and it'll make my acne disappear. Sounds a little too good to be true to me.
Oh, no catch. We're so sure that Proactive Solution will give you beautiful, healthy-looking skin that we're going to let you try it risk-free just to prove it.
Okay, but I've tried a lot of different things for acne before and they always make my skin itchy and flaky.
Well, that's why Proactive uses soothing spa-quality botanicals along with prescription-grade acne medicine to heal, hydrate, and soothe your skin while eliminating bumps and redness. Oh, there's one thing I didn't mention.
A catch, right?
We're also going to give you a free refining face mask with your risk-free trial.
Wow, it's free?
To get your risk-free trial of Proactive Solution and free refining face mask, call 1-800-426-0651. For your risk-free trial, call 1-800-426-0651. That's 1-800-426-0651.
Three traps set by a deranged killer. Two desperate cops who take the bait. One thriller that triples the suspense. Triptych, the new novel by New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Triptych takes you down three harrowing paths of murder, then trips you up with one final shocker you will never see coming. See why critics call Karen Slaughter's thrillers crime fiction at its finest. Read Triptych by Karen Slaughter, a Delacorte hardcover.
What's more important to you, a better-looking vacuum or a cleaner, healthier home? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL may not win any beauty contests, but it wins rave reviews from owners of those dust-spewing bagless clunkers. Once they try an Orrick XL, they love it. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and take a risk-free trial of the vacuum that won't send a cloud of dust in your face.
We'll be right back.
We got a strategy, and I'm gonna keep talking about the strategy. It'll yield the victories.
God, it's real funny. Except people are dying. And other people, like what's his name, the guy from Phoenix, are going mad. Okay, I got a lot of emails from Phoenix all of a sudden, and one here that's not from Phoenix that. This is from Cindy, kind of encapsulates that the reason you are getting weirdos from Phoenix is because they all got their panties in a bunch because Air America Phoenix is pushing their buttons. It's the best Air America station in the whole country. It is the one I stream every night because I love their commercials. Okay, thanks, Cindy. Yeah, Air America and Phoenix really, really did push some buttons. They did. They were bought out by the original station that carried Air America. It was bought out by a Christian Nazi group, and Air America programming immediately tossed away. And then the people of Phoenix said, "To hell with that!" And money was raised, and a station was leased, and we're back on the air. And the person who led that effort really in Phoenix was Dr. Mike Newcomb, who also has a program on that station. Dr. Mike, as we have come to know him, was the driving force behind that. And I think everyone, I sometimes wonder if the suits at Air America ever sent Dr. Mike a thank you for doing what he did in Phoenix. I hope so. They don't, that's way over my pay grade. They don't clue me in on what they do in the boardroom. But Dr. Mike Newcomb is the one who fought back hard and won very quickly. So, yeah, I think Cindy's right. That's the reason we get some wing nuts from Phoenix. Fred is calling from Miami. Fred, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I'm originally from Brazil, and I've lived in America since 1994. And being from Brazil, which is a third world country, as you know, they will be 100% energy sufficient by next year because of the ethanol program, which was started back in the 70s.
Yeah, I've been reading about that. All the energy for internal combustion engines is going to come from sugarcane?
Yes, that's been the case since the 70s, and they also have Petrobras, the oil company from Brazil, so almost every car is flex power, so you can either put gasoline or ethanol, alcohol.
Well, let me ask you something. What you just said, Brazil's a third world country. Is it really? I thought Brazil was pretty much one of the more developed countries, so-called, on the planet.
Well, it's got a strong economy, but it has also sharp misery and all over the place. So that's why.
Let me ask you: is the Amazon rainforest going to survive?
Well, if it continues with the way it is, and they don't do anything about it, then it may be destroyed after all. Because you've got lumber companies going in there from all over, from Japan, Germany, the U.S., and no one's doing anything about it. So.
When Amazonia, I believe is how it's referred to, because it covers several countries, not just Brazil. But if Amazonia goes, the planet goes. I have read that that section of the Earth is almost like a lung that breathes for the Earth.
That's right. It's tough.
Yeah.
But basically, why I was calling is that because, while in Brazil we had cable TV, regular cable TV, but we also got TV channels from all over the world, and that's the case wherever you go in the world. And it's so sad to see that the U.S. every day under this administration becomes more like an isolated island somewhere in the Pacific, because I think the biggest tragedy is the American people have no chance of learning about the Middle East, about other cultures. And I guess because of that, we become more and more hated by them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we generalize, we just, it's I wish that the government and the media here, which, we keep accusing countries that they don't have a free press. But I got to tell you, Michael, I've been to many places, and the press in the United States is not free at all. It's really sad. And, when you see all the major networks talking 24/7 about, the possible murder suspect of JonBenet Ramsey while we've got people in Iraq dying and that country going to civil war, It's really sad to see how the news organizations are not prioritizing and educating the public, you know?
Yeah, it's insane. I would think, in some of my wild fantasies, that so-called news networks, and most of them are on cable, would focus on the news. And if people have a prurient interest in the death of a six-year-old child, you know, maybe there should be, well, there's Court TV, a cable channel that can devote itself to that. There's Fox, a channel that can devote itself to that. You know,
right.
some of the softer, so-called channels channels that are out there just for infotainment. But you would think that news gathering, organizations that own, cable systems like CNN, or not systems,
right,
but a cable channel would focus on news and let this JonBenet stuff, as tragic as it is, be handled somewhere else, like Fox.
Exactly. We got to be able to form our opinions, but we have to be able to learn from different perspectives on the issue. Like, I would be able to, we are able to get Lebanese TV, Russian TV, Al Jazeera, and even if you don't understand what they're saying, you see the images, and you're able to form a better opinion. Here, you're like a hostage of, you know, a one-sided point of view, and it's very sad because more and more we're becoming isolated from the rest of the world, and it's scary. I love this country. It's been so welcoming to me, but it's sad to see that more and more we're becoming a one-sided point of view, which is this one-sided view that the government is feeding us, that they want us to believe in. So
that's very true. That's very true. Fred, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right. Hope to hear from you again. Take care. Yeah, this, you know, Fred is so right. This is one of the few countries that has vast television, telecom networks that is strictly limited. There are some cable systems where you can get a Canadian Broadcasting Corporation here in America. They're very limited. I would love to be able to get Australian news. I would love to be able to get the New China News Agency reports from the Middle East. Not going to happen here. Not. I know you can. You can do it via the internet, but just television channels. You know. Lester is calling from Dearborn, Michigan. Lester, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I was calling to say that, you know, when you really look at what's happened in Iraq, all the death, all the destruction, it's all our fault. And since we've done such a horrible thing to these people, I think just getting up and running out without trying to actually finish trying to build a country there is really wrong.
Even if 82% of the Iraqi people want us to get the hell out of their country?
Well, no one wants, how can I say this? Yes, people want us to leave, but I don't think they want us to leave immediately. I mean,
well, wait a second. What you think or what I think is totally immaterial. The Iraqi people in poll after poll have said they would like to see the United States military get out of their country. The government of Iraq, as much of a puppet government or a fake government as it is now saying the same thing. The only way to stop the violence that's going on there is for the United States to get out and let the Iraqis decide this themselves. I mean, when we had a civil war in this country in the middle of the 19th century, there was some help being given to the South. Who was it? Was it Britain? Was it France? There was some, France, I believe, was giving some help to the South. There was an effort made to interfere. And the United States, the people of the United States told these foreign countries, get out of here. That was one of the reasons, for the Monroe Doctrine. Of course, the Monroe Doctrine was prior to. But it's the idea that you don't interfere in the internal affairs of another country unless you're willing to murder them and have our people murdered. There is no justification for us to stay there. We destroyed their country. And we should pay reparations. Billions upon billions of dollars is what the United States should have to pay, and I think it ought to come out of Halliburton's coffers to begin with. But I think you're wrong where it concerns staying or leaving, Lester. I really do.
Well, here's the thing. We have made this mess. I mean, you know, it wasn't exactly the Club Hilton before we invaded, but this is what we have done. We have already interfered in their government. We have already invaded them. We have already violated them completely.
All right, well, you understand, Lester, this didn't start with George Bush's invasion. This started with Pappy Bush's invasion, and it was sustained over 12 years of sanctions against the Iraqi people. Do you know how many Iraqis have died prior to George W. Bush's invasion and occupation? Best estimates from reliable organizations are as many as half a million children died. God only knows how many adults died. So it's not just the past 3 years, my friend. We have been hammering Iraq for 15 years. And what we have done to that country is just beyond belief. We've got to go. Thanks, Lester. I appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Call.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Real words from real people about Lifeline screening.
I was told I should see my doctor or go to the emergency room immediately. Later I said to the physician, I guess I'm pretty lucky to have had those tests. He answered, it saved your life.
In less than 1 hour, Lifeline screening checks for warning signs of stroke and vascular disease. Nearly 50% of people that suffer a stroke never have symptoms. Don't wait until it's too late. Get screened today.
The doctor said I'm one lucky guy, and if I hadn't gone to the screening, I would have been a statistic.
$129, 4 ultrasound tests, no needles, no pain, just peace of mind.
I owe my life to you.
Mobile testing units are coming to your neighborhood. If you're over 50, make an appointment by calling 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
Lifeline screening saved my life.
Please call now. 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. Troy is calling from Memphis, Tennessee. Troy, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, you need to take me off speakerphone, pal.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike.
That's all right. No problem.
Hey, listen, man, I wanted to give you a belated congratulations on your new contract.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you deserve it. I keep on doing what you're doing, telling the truth and everything. I really appreciate it. First of all, I wanted to say about Iraq and them beating the war drums. These evil bastards have never gone to war. They've never, you know, all
That's
they want
right.
to do is, and all they want to do, Mike, is create chaos so they can steal. Let's face it. That's the truth. And I'm so upset about it. You know, sometimes I'm like your 1984 George Orwell book that you read, and I listen to your show all the time. I know I'm a first time caller and all, but I never really got the chance to call until now.
Well, but I appreciate the fact that you do tune in, Troy, and just you know, feel free to call. But now, what you really called about is about Iran.
Well. Yeah, all they want to do is just go to war and create chaos and steal. You know, that's all they want to do. I mean, this evil Bush cabal of Rumsfeld and Cheney and all the rest of these guys, they make me ill. I mean, they really do. And you know, that's it. I mean, don't you agree? All they want to do is just create war and havoc and kill. Unbegotten profit, man. Come on. That's their primary motive.
Well, I agree. Troy, thank you. I appreciate you checking in tonight. I hope you call again. You get no argument from me about that. Thanks a lot, Troy. Brian is calling from Springfield, Massachusetts. Brian, welcome to the program.
Mike, it's great to talk to you.
My privilege.
Thank you for the call.
Well, thank you. I mean, you're welcome, or something.
Let me set the stage here and say
okay.
Thank you for Kathy and your crew, because you guys are great.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that too.
Just a little bit of a different perspective, and I am left as can be, and I love your show and I love your advocacy. Please, please keep it going. Thank you.
Okay.
But back in 79-80, I was in the United States Navy for 5 years active duty, and I was off the coast of Iran.
Uh-huh.
For during Reagan's inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
And it was troubled times back then. And to tell you the truth, I don't understand all that was going on back then, but I do know that we had our missiles kind of like aimed at Tehran.
Yep.
Anyways, a year or two ago, and I've got a nice, comfortable life here. I'm so patriotic. I love this country, Mike. And you know, in what you've been talking about, these crazy people that call in that your show, it's so depressing. Have they ever been outside of America?
I wonder about some of them, because their worldview is so narrow, it's almost invisible. And it's like when you listen to what these people say, they use phrases, words and phrases that only comes from right-wing talk radio. It doesn't come from
exactly.
the real world. Yeah.
Of course. No, I've had the pleasure of, I've lived in London, I've lived in Europe, and I love America. I'm as patriotic as can be, as you are.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, you know, one of the things, I was down in the Caribbean about a couple of years ago with my wife and my two children, and I met a wonderful couple. They happened to be from Iran. It was like when Bush was in power for a year or two.
Uh-huh.
And his wife was pregnant. They were professionals. They actually lived in Washington, D.C., and they were asking me about the Bush regime and et cetera. But
mm-hmm.
they were wonderful people. And they were people, Mike. And they were wonderful. And we talked. But that's the problem I see with all this rhetoric going on. all they talk about is the, you know, many times, towel heads or et cetera. You know, it's a big world out there.
Yeah, I hear you, Brian.
These folks were professional. They were wonderful, and they were willing to, you know, discuss what was going on. And all I hear in the media is bad stuff, you know?
Well, I know, and Brian, I think, listen, Brian, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. I think anybody who spends time talking with the people in these countries that the Bush crime family has demonized comes to understand very quickly that the people themselves are, there's no problem there. It's the insanity of, I think right now, it's primarily the insanity of our leaders. I'm not going to, you know, defend every single regime on Earth and say they're all good and, you know, we're all bad. I think our leadership is all bad, but that doesn't mean that the rest of them are all good. Hell no. I mean, there's, you know, the Saudis ought to be overthrown tomorrow. The Kuwaitis ought to be overthrown tomorrow. The Egyptian government ought to be overthrown tomorrow. You know, these are dictatorships. These are monarchies. I'm kind of holding my, you know, holding my fire on Jordan. Although Jordan, I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? Ah, of course you do. All right, we have a break here. We're going to come back and take your phone calls for the final hour of the program tonight. So do stick around if you're on hold. Stay there. Don't go away. I want to hear what you got to say. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
On Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Dear America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Gulf Coast survivors of Hurricane Katrina will spend its upcoming first anniversary keeping watch on what is now Tropical Storm Ernesto. The storm reached that strength Friday as it entered the Caribbean. The National Hurricane Center has posted tropical storm watches for Haiti and for Jamaica, where the storm could arrive Sunday night. And the forecasters say it could reach hurricane strength on Monday with a track taking it between Cuba and Cozumel on a path for the Gulf of Mexico. Also watching the forecasts with concern are crude oil traders in New York. They're concerned about a possible impact on Gulf oil production. Well, it seems the weather is giving NASA managers the most to worry about as they count down to Sunday's launch of Space Shuttle Atlantis. There is a 40% chance thundershowers could scuttle the liftoff. To top it off, launch director Mike Lineback says the launch pad was hit by lightning.
Preliminary indications are that it struck the catenary wire system, which is what it's there for. It is our lightning protection system.
NASA is anxious to launch Atlantis on the first assembly mission to the International Space Station since the 2003 Columbia tragedy. Liftoff is set for 4:30 p.m. Sunday Eastern Time at the Kennedy Space Center. Iraqi security forces are getting a pat on the back from U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld.
The Iraqi forces have been doing a very good job, and I should emphasize that because from time to time we hear things to the contrary.
Rumsfeld made his remarks while greeting Iraq's deputy president at the Pentagon. Rumsfeld said that he is encouraged by the ability of Iraqi security forces to deal with spikes in violence. Norwegian Cruise Lines has been hit with a discrimination lawsuit for the firing of a number of Muslim employees. The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission says seven or more workers aboard the Pride of Aloha were fired 2 years ago in Hawaii because the company allegedly labeled them as a security risk. A spokeswoman for the cruise line insists its employees come from a broad range of ethnic and religious backgrounds and denied it has discriminated. She says the employees covered in that suit were all dismissed legally during their probationary periods. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Earlier in the program, we were talking about the government in Afghanistan, the puppet government we've installed there of Hamid Karzai, former Unocal oil company lobbyist or consultant or whatever he was, is having some problems. Afghanistan is reverting to Taliban control. There's no question that that is happening. This is the great success story that the Bush crime family constantly brings out as and touts as how you liberate. What is Cheney always talks about liberating 25 million people or something in Afghanistan. It would be a joke if it were not so sickeningly false. Karzai has been appointing to government positions, including the equivalent of cabinet positions, gangsters, major opium poppy distributors, and former Taliban killers. And it's to the point now where the Taliban is reasserting itself with this office of keeping your hands clean and your mouth shut, and the bit about the women who are beaten if they show their ankles. If you know, it's back into the burqa time. Well, in relation or in regards to that, got an email here from Angie in California. Here's what Angie writes. Hi, Mike. Gee, you know, I don't see anything wrong with punishing women who expose their ankles and arm flesh. Really, it's important to cover that facial skin, too, because doggone it, everyone knows that it's all women's fault. When a godly intellectual man gets aroused at the sight of female skin, women should be controlled entirely to make sure they aren't trying to pull any of that evil witchcraft, which is the cause of all sexuality on earth. Men are always just trying to mind your own business when inevitably some female comes along, slyly exposing an inch of ankle or wrist with the specific aim of interrupting the godly man's train of thought, and her goal is his arousal. All women want every man they see to get aroused when she comes around. Women like that kind of thing. It's just awful. Women are so bad. Not Chihuahua. Have a nice weekend, Angie, in California. Thanks, Angie. You have a nice weekend, too. Yeah, how many women? There were tens of thousands of women burned at the stake in, or was it hundreds of thousands, in Europe in the Middle Ages. How many were burned in Salem, Massachusetts here during the witchcraft insanity in the 1600s? 50, 100, 150? Well, you had, didn't you have a great aunt, Kathy, who was a witch?
She might hear you.
she's dead and gone.
That's what you think.
But, so you didn't have, you did or didn't?
Well, she was like an herb woman who lived out in the woods. I mean, if they'd caught her, she probably would have been burned. But they didn't catch her because I guess she was the closest thing that the village or whatever had to a doctor or a medical person. But,
Well, anyway. All right, back to your phone calls as promised. RB is calling from Canada. RB, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you? How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. So the Iranian president, if I was him, I'd be trying to get a nuclear bomb, too. Because look at the Iraq and North Korea, the other two axes of evil, even though I don't have any idea what the connection of the three is, because they, you know.
Right.
But if Iran doesn't get a nuclear bomb, they're almost sure to be invaded, just like Iraq was, because then it's a pushover.
Well, haven't we been telling ourselves for the past 60 years that nuclear, after we used them on Japan, that the sole function and purpose of nuclear weapons was as a deterrent? That's all it was, that we would never use these weapons in anger. And the Soviet Union said the same thing during that long so-called Cold War. Oh, no, it's strictly defensive, strictly as a deterrent. So based on that insanity, sure, I think Iran should have them, too. I think everybody should have nuclear. Let's all have nuclear weapons. The whole damn place is going to go up eventually anyway. Too bad we don't live in a nuclear-free world. If anybody could pause and take their breath, take their own breath and just breathe in and let it out, I think people would sit down and say, Jesus, God, what have we done with these nuclear weapons? Let's figure out a way to get rid of them. But that'll never happen. I mean, look at Israel. Israel has what now, 200 nuclear weapons? And who can blame them? Who can blame them? So, Iran is going to have nuclear weapons for sure. And with the United States threatening them every time they turn around, they got to have them.
Well, and Pakistan has one already, so a Muslim nation has one already. And this, the Khan, the guy who...
The guy that sold all the technology,
That was proliferating them already. Don't you think that he's probably, already talked to Iran, other Muslim nations, and they've already got other things going? I mean, eventually, it was bound to happen, because India and Pakistan, that's a counterbalance. So somebody's got to counterbalance Israel in the Middle East, and so Iran's going to be it. And that might, like you said, if everybody's got them, then maybe everybody will mind their own business. That's a possibility.
Well, the greater possibility, though, is murder and mayhem. You know, it's kind of like the argument that these psychos at the NRA put out, that if everybody were armed, like on airplanes and stuff, if everybody were armed and carried their weapons with them, then the bad guys would never make a move, because, you know, the good citizen would jump up and fill them full of holes, which is hog snot. Everybody knows it's hog snot. I hate carrying a gun. I hate it. I just wish there was some way that I could not do it. But I've done it for so long, I don't know what to do anymore. So this business about everybody having a gun is insane. Everybody having nuclear weapons is insaner.
And what's more insane is the fact that there's going to be another accident. There's going to be another Chernobyl. Everybody knows it. And if you have these third world countries all desperate to get a bomb, they're going to do shortcuts, or even desperate to refine their own uranium for energy purposes.
Sure.
And accidents can happen. And then where do you put the waste? Oh, well, we're going to go throw them in mountains or underneath in holes. Or maybe eventually we're going to shoot them up past the Van Allen radiation belt. And who knows what will happen then? So I wish we could go back, but it's too late. And now here I am phoning from Saskatchewan, Mike, and we are the world's leader in uranium development and production.
Right.
And the last 20 years ago, we tried to make this that we would not have a nuclear production facility in Saskatchewan. We just ship out the uranium to everybody, the hypocrites that we are.
Well, that's what's going on in Australia. As far as I know, Australia does not have nuclear weapons, but by God, they have a uranium industry.
Yeah, and now here in Saskatchewan, we just had a poll taken, and now the public is leaning towards having a nuclear plant here in Saskatchewan. I go, oh, geez, just, you know, it slowly creeps in over time. Hey, you forget your lessons of the past, and all of a sudden, we have our own Chernobyl up here.
Do you think the RCMP should have nuclear weapons?
No, the RCMP won't be in charge of it, trust me.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
This is mostly about what do you do with the waste? Nobody ever talks about it. They always like, well, we'll sweep it under the rug. You know?
Well, you can't do anything with it unless you're willing to hang around for about 240 billion years, and you know, then it might go away.
Well, so maybe that's the plan. That's why the Bush crime family, you know, these neocon global elitists want to leave this planet. They're desperate to get this Mars program underway. You notice, China's even talking about sending probes to Mars because they know they're going to have to leave eventually.
Yeah.
For what we're doing to it.
I just sometimes feel like I've just fallen so far down the rabbit hole, there's no way to get out, and I've just got to all of a sudden get used to eating nothing but carrots. Hey, listen, good to hear from you, RB. Take care, all right?
You bet. Bye.
All right, we'll talk to you again. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America. Stay away from those
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker, like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider, like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have GEICO motorcycle insurance. Because GEICO covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. GEICO Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
I think we are welcomed, but it was not a peaceful welcome.
Yeah, that has to do with Iraq, right? I have an email here from a witch, Susan, in Columbia City, Oregon. Mike, as a witch, I know something about this. There were no witches burned in Salem, Massachusetts. Hanging was the order of the day. Mostly a few other things, including pressing, of all things, but not burning. Okay. Pressing. Ooh. Press. I mean, like what? Laying somebody on a huge rock and then laying a big rock on top and then pressing it. Something like that. Oh, my God. Well, if you knew, Kathy, that witches weren't burned in Salem, why didn't you say something? No. Let the talk show host make a fool of himself. Back to the phone calls. Parvis is calling from Larchmont, New York. Parvis, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Nice hearing you. And I'm glad I'm not the only one who makes a fool out of myself once in a while.
Oh, yes. Well,
but anyway, what I wanted to say is that, first of all, the question is, how can we stop these crazies from destroying the United States and destroying the world? Now, Ray McGovern was on radio today, and he said that, you know, he was a CIA agent for 30 years.
Right.
And, they used to refer to these neocons as a bunch of crazies. Now, these crazies have power, and they're going to destroy the world. So the question is how to stop them. Now, Mr. Norman, I believe he's of Media Matters. Let Kathy check that. I'm not sure. And he has organized U.S. Tour of Duty. That means he's booking Ray McGovern, Scott Ritter, Cindy Sheehan, etc., to give talks all over this nation. But now, Mr. Norman today was on radio saying that the main problem in USA is the press. The press here, the media here is not informing us, misinforming us about things. So how can we do that? How can we change things? So now there is a meeting this Sunday in New York City at 7 p.m., Sunday, August 27th, in Washington Square South. The name of the building, I don't know, but if you go, or Kathy or one of your assistants, go to ustourofduty.org.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have all the details for the meeting of this Sunday. But I want to say another thing about Iran.
Say it again. U.S. Tour of Duty.
T-O-U-R of Duty. D-U-T-Y.org.
Okay.
And that has the details about this meeting, and I hope I can attend it. And they're going to plan to see how we can stop these guys. And Ray McGowan said, we have to get to the streets. We have to be in millions and millions because this is our country, this is our world, and they're going to destroy it. And it's very hard to get it back to normal because once we create enemies, it's very hard to contain them, such as Israel. There are these foolish, these stupid Israelis. They attack Lebanon, and they think that they're going to get away with it. They destroyed half of the Lebanon. I assure you, Mike, there are people now, crazy people like them, planning to destroy half or all Israel. And, you know, this guy, Thomas Friedman, said that Israel is behaving so badly that it takes 10 dirty bombs to destroy such a small country. Why they're doing this? Why they're not more wise? I cannot understand. Bush, you know, is anti-Semitic. He's trying to destroy the Jews and Muslims. And the way he encouraged Israelis to go to this war, he wants to destroy them too in order to bring rapture. I mean, these guys are crazy. Now, about Iran. Iran has not violated any law. Non-proliferation treaty allows them to enrich uranium to 4 or 5%, which is useful for making a fuel for atomic reactors. Now, they have said, send all the inspectors, the inspectors, like in Iraq, and inspect us. You know, we don't have anything to hide. But, you know, Bush pressured IAEA to refer Iran to United Nations. I think IAEA made a fool of themselves. They have to be ashamed of themselves that they yielded to the pressure of Bush. Bush doesn't care. He wants to ruin the United Nations. As the guy Bolton has said, I don't care if the 10, you know, stories of the UN were destroyed, we won't miss it. I mean, these guys try to destroy everything, including UN. That is why they referred Iran, you know, to UN, and they said, you cannot enrich uranium. Why not? NPT. Now, I'm against, you know, nuclear energy, but that's immaterial. NPT allows them to enrich. Why are we making new rules for the Muslim countries while Israel has so many?
Of course, Israel is not a signatory to the non-proliferation treaty.
You know what Iran said? Iran said if you push us, we'll drop out, and then we do what Israel did.
Right.
But I'm against bombs. I'm against wars, and I want peace. We should make the Middle East a nuclear-free zone. And I tell Israelis, listen, Israelis, citizens of Israel, don't let your leaders destroy you. Sign this nuclear-free zone. Get rid of all nuclear weapons in the Middle East. And believe me, you'll be safer. This foolishness, the killing people. You know, I
understand.
I was looking at Parvis, the internet.
Parvis,
yeah, go ahead.
We're out of time, pal.
Okay.
Thank
you.
I love you.
I always appreciate
what you have to say. Thanks for checking in. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Three traps set by a deranged killer. Two desperate cops who take the bait. One thriller that triples the suspense. Triptych, the new novel by New York Times bestselling author Karen Slaughter. Triptych takes you down three harrowing paths of murder, then trips you up with one final shocker you will never see coming. See why critics call Karen Slaughter's thrillers crime fiction at its finest. Read Triptych by Karen Slaughter, a Delacorte hardcover.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yes, it is.
Mark, I'm Paul.
Yeah?
I own your old, new Passat.
Oh, yeah, the...
Yes! Yeah. Oh, boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just swing by and just, you know, sit in the Passat, you give me a call anytime, we'll make that happen.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Real words from real people about Lifeline screening.
I was told I should see my doctor or go to the emergency room immediately. Later I said to the physician, I guess I'm pretty lucky to have had those tests. He answered, it saved your life.
In less than 1 hour, Lifeline screening checks for warning signs of stroke and vascular disease. Nearly 50% of people that suffer a stroke never have symptoms. Don't wait until it's too late. Get screened today.
The doctor said I'm one lucky guy, and if I hadn't gone to the screening, I would have been a statistic.
$129, four ultrasound tests. No needles, no pain. Just peace of mind.
I owe my life to you.
Mobile testing units are coming to your neighborhood. If you're over 50, make an appointment by calling 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
Lifeline screening saved my life.
Please call now. 1-888-908-TEST. That's 1-888-908-TEST.
You know, they're obviously killing Americans, but they're killing a lot more Iraqis.
Take my hand. Break my.
You know, when you stop and think about it, George W. Bush is the perfect figurehead for this neoconservative cabal of war lovers that is doing and has done so much damage to this country. Back to your phone calls. Barry is calling from Portland, Oregon. Barry, welcome to the program.
Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm
calling from a phone booth, and I'm looking through Project Censored, and I saw something about Mozambique in it, and then I read the speech by the Dalai Lama to the Society of Neurologists in Washington, D.C., and, all this stuff sort of ties together. You were talking about Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned before the book All the Shah's Men by Stephen Kinzer, and
uh-huh.
how in 1953 the low rotten CIA Kermit Roosevelt undermined Mohammed Mossadegh, a really
mm-hmm.
beautiful person, and it was a rotten thing, but that was just the beginning. Our country is saying that we're going to go in to save Iraq. The poor people are just suffering. We want to help them so much. Yet, what I was reading, that was the other day, the other morning, about Mozambique and Project Censored, 1987. I've forgotten its name. Well, it doesn't matter. But there were three people in Congress that supported RENAMO, and they were just a. One guy said this was the example. This was the most terrible. It was something about terrorists. It was a vicious. Oh, and the State Department said it was a terribly vicious thing that was going on, and that Jesse Helms, Senator Bob Dole, Senator Jesse Helms, and what's his name, this other guy in Congress, supported RENAMO. And the country was socialist, and because it was socialist, we let it be torn down. So there's no way that anyone can figure that we went into Iraq to free the people. It was, in fact, what I found. President Reagan and Oliver North, and Vice President George Bush. He went in, he supported it because of oil. It would raise the prices. The oil was dropping. Vice President George Bush, I could find it. I don't want to even take the time to. But
now, you're talking about Iraq or Iran?
Iran. The guns.
Okay, you said Iraq a couple of times, and
I think it's
confusing.
Iraq, yeah. Because Iraq, how is it that we would go in there as a country? A lot of people in this country would, that the people at the head of the helm, I mean at the head of the country, how they would go in there when we ignored Mozambique when they were falling apart because they were socialist. And so we don't really care about the well-being of people. It's just our own selfish interest. And President Reagan, when he got the guns for hostages, Oliver North and that stuff, Vice President Bush had a financial reason for going in there, and that was that oil prices were dropping.
Mm.
And this says that in the article in 1986 or something like that. 86 or 87. But
mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, it's obvious that you're doing a lot of research and a lot of work on this, Barry, and I think that's a good thing.
Well, that's not really enough. It has to be known that our country, that the people, they're crooks. They're smearing us for
right.
their own self-interest.
Well, I agree with you, and I'm on the same page as you are, pal.
Uh-huh.
All right, listen, I got to move on, though. I've got to move on
okay,
to other callers. Thanks a lot. No, I got to let it go there. I appreciate you checking in, pal. Thank you very much. You know, I hate to do that. I hate to end people's statements, but just have to. There's so many people that have things they want to say, and I know a lot of times I get the same way. It just comes tumbling out. It's all very unfocused, and it's hard to listen to. I don't mean that as an insult. I'm just saying all this stuff that comes out sometimes is very unfocused because the Bush crime family has on so many different issues, different fronts, just taken this country into chaos. So if you're listening and you think, well, Jesus, you know, come on, Malloy, that caller, I can't follow what he's saying. I understand. It is kind of difficult. But there's just so much there. Chris is calling from Charleston, Rhode Island. Is that right, Chris?
Yes, Mike, it is. Hi.
Hi, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you. I was talking to your screener, who is a peach, by the way. Thank him for me, if you will, about whenever I talk to somebody about the horrors of the Bush crime family, which to me are pretty self-evident. I mean, I've been screaming about these people for years. But then a lot of folks on the left will offer as a solution to it the Democrats. And I can't see that. If we're talking about the problems in the world today, to me it's not a question of Republican, Democrat. It's a question of U.S. foreign policy, and they're all implicated in that. You know, I mean, as much as people like Bill Clinton and hold him up as I guess, the ideal president or something along those lines, he ignored the East Timorese when they were getting butchered. He allowed the Iraqi people to be subjected to those sanctions. And quite frankly, to me it's like the Yankees and the Red Sox, you know? They're part of the same team. And as I was saying to your screener before, every once in a while somebody manages to tap the real grassroots in the country, because I think there's a lot of people who are just, they're so busy trying to keep, you know, ends together, they don't have time to pay attention to their own country. But Dean started to do it, and he got slammed by his own party. Now, what I'm wondering is if it's possible somehow to cobble together, not necessarily Republican, Democrat, but people who will not take money from corporations, people who will just try to organize small folks, small contributions, and in that way try to take some of the power back that is supposed to be ours in the first place.
You know, I agree with that, and it's highly idealistic. The problem, and I've talked with candidates. I have friends who are candidates across the country for various congressional offices coming up in this election. The problem is this. A candidate who tries to do that, who tries to eliminate huge chunks of money, is a candidate who is going to spend all of his or her time simply fundraising.
Yeah.
And never have a chance to get out there and address the issues, address potential voters, the possible constituents. And it's a damn shame, because in this country we do not have public financing or public funding of political campaigns. And, you know, we've tried it. We've had checkoffs on our income tax returns. And people just, you know, granted, some people do, but it's not to the point where public funding, at least the candidates don't think it's to the point where public funding can sustain the kind of expenditures they have. Now, having said that, I do agree that it's insane the way campaigns are run. What is the biggest expenditure for candidates? Television advertising. And the television ads are these 30 and 60 second spots that are lies, distortions, they're evil, they're ugly. I've said several times, when I become king of America, I will eliminate any candidate from using television to reach an audience, or radio. If you want to reach an audience, get off your ass, go to the civic organizations, go to schools, go to church basements, go talk to the people, go door to door, organize people who will go door to door for you, and leave the money alone. So I agree with what you're saying. But I just don't think it's going to happen until It happens for everybody. I think our system is utterly and absolutely polluted, Chris.
That's the problem. That's exactly. That's why I get so frustrated. I mean, I listen to your station constantly. I ask my wife, because I like it and I appreciate it and everything else. But as soon as folks start telling me that they want me to reinvest in a system that I am convinced is gone, I don't know what to do. I really don't.
I don't either.
Sorry to bring you down. But.
No. It doesn't bring me down. I'm so down. Down looks like up where it concerns the political system and how it has been absolutely destroyed in this country. And, yes, I fault Democrats. I think Republicans are insane and murderous and violent and hateful. I think Democrats are incompetent as hell and can't get organized and refuse to separate themselves totally and completely from this corporate money, totally and completely from these Republican pigs. So to that extent, yes, I fault the Democratic Party too, and I hate that because I see the Democrats as being the only way out of this, and then a purge of the Democratic Party and the possibility of supporting an independent party, a Green Party, a monarchist party. I don't give a damn. Just something other than this rotten, wretched two-party system. But I'm on the same page with you too, Chris. Thanks a lot for checking in, pal.
That's
right?
Your family. Thank you.
I appreciate your call. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped.
Hold everything. Here's a special offer from Avacor. Today, Avacor will double your order. That's right, double it. You can't go wrong because only Avacor gives you up to a full year to see results or get a full refund. Today's the day. Avacor will double your order. Call Avacor now and get twice for the price.
I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Americans learn to speak a language, learn to speak Arabic. Those in the Arabic regional say, gosh, America's interested in us. They care enough to learn how we speak.
that makes sense. Thanks to Justin Yuen and Tim MacArthur, who engineered the program for us tonight in New York. Also, David Weissman, who handled your phone calls. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall, our webmaster. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives the program. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. And Catherine Bay, the executive producer. Don't forget, we'll be on in the daytime all next week. Oh, my God, Kathy, how are we going to handle that? We'll be sitting in for Randy Rhodes from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Peter Werby will be substituting for me at the usual time, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. So if you want to get some of the Malloy program, you have to do it during the day next week, sitting in for Randy Rhodes. All right? Back to your phone calls. Brad is calling from Germany. Brad, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Brad. How you doing?
I'm okay. By golly, this is the first time I've ever called in, but I know you know that I write a lot. Mike, I just wanted to talk real quick tonight about the latest terrorism scares and everything with the aircraft. I had planned on flying home to Florida, which is my home away from home when I'm not living in Germany, and vote this year, because last year I voted, or the last time I voted absentee, and they didn't get counted in Florida, as you're probably well aware.
Oh, yeah.
So I was going to fly home. But they've made it, every day now, they're turning two and three planes around. And I have a small handicap, and I guess I'm going to have to vote absentee again. And even though I don't believe any of this terrorism is real, I think this thing is going to affect a lot of expatriates who probably were going to fly home to vote, and now we won't, so we'll be voting absentee again. And I think I'll wait till after the election and come home after Christmas sometime if we win. And if we don't, then I think I'll stay safely here in Europe until the smoke clears.
Well, that's an interesting a point about expats coming home to vote. I know today in the U.S., I think there were 6 or 7 incidences of terror in the skies, you know, where planes had to return or...
it's a couple of days now.
Oh, it's crazy, and none of the stuff turns out to have any substance whatsoever. But the Bush crime family has really succeeded in making everyone just absolutely terrified of their own shadow. It's incredible what has happened here.
Well, I'm not afraid to fly anytime. I was with the government for years and flew about every other week, and I used to come home from Europe at least twice a year because my dad's 86 years old, and I like to come home and visit him, and got family and kids there in the States. I got one son lives over here with me. We listen to you all the time. But, you know, now Randy Rhodes is put on a no-fly list, too. I don't know if you heard that. But
well, I did hear something about that she went to fly to Seattle, I believe. I haven't talked with Randy since I saw that on her website, but I'm gonna ask her about that over the weekend if I can track her down. I think she's going on vacation. Well, I know she's
Kennedy,
going on vacation.
Randy Rhodes, and I so far as I know, I'm not on a no-fly list yet, but I do listen to you guys streaming generally, not live, and listen to Bob Kincaid on my computer and. And you and Randy and, well, I can't listen to Springer and the other guy anymore.
I understand that.
Oh, God.
All right, Brad, I've got to leave it there. Thanks a lot for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. And call us again.
Kiss the baby for me.
We'll do it.
And I've been through the terrible twos, too, a couple times, so I know how that's like.
It's very
good
weird.
Good luck to you. Thanks.
All right, thanks Brad. I appreciate
work,
it. You
Mike.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Francis is calling from Milpitas, California. Hey, Francis.
Hello, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm okay. I just want to mention quickly about this survey that my local affiliate, which delays you until like 11 p.m. over here Pacific.
Uh-huh.
And they're having a survey, so we can probably get Ed Schultz out of here and and anything, and to make sure, I hope your show can go live, and I want people to go to www.quakeradio.com and click on the new fall season, and it says a banner, I want my shows. It'll take you to a survey that says what you want to hear most
right.
about 960.
So it's quakeradio.com?
Yeah.
Quakeradio.com. Okay.
And then it says the new fall season, and then click on I want my shows, and it takes you to a survey, and it has options of what you like most about
right.
960, and it gives you those options, and even lists your name, and then it says other.
Uh-huh.
And then it also says what do you like to hear on the Quake. Well, I put in I would like to hear your show and Randy's show live instead of like 4 hours behind, because
right.
that's what it currently is right now, and that's not good. And I don't think your show deserves to be on at 11 p.m. I don't know if people will be listening to
it. I don't either. All right, Francis, we got it. The
okay.
QuakeRadio.com. We got a boogie. Thanks, Francis.
Okay.
I appreciate you bringing that to everybody's attention. We're going to get everybody coast to coast and border to border to go to QuakeRadio.com and do the right thing by the Molloy program. Thanks, Francis.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you Monday at 3 o'clock Eastern on the Randy Rhodes program. So have a great weekend. We'll talk then, all right? In the meantime, take care. Watch your back, all right? I'm Mike Molloy. This is Air America Radio. And don't forget Peter Werby sitting in for me. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
On Air America Radio.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. That's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Oreck XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Oreck XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too.